fourth chapter, starting at verse number 18. And this is what the scripture says. The Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" Verse 23 says, "And he said unto them, Yea, or ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto the Sarepta of a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, we come to you, Father, one more time today to say thank you once again. As it has been said many times today, Lord, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for giving us another chance at life. Lord, we messed our lives all up, and sin was bound to mess it up if we hadn't got too far in it. But Lord, I'm glad you saved us all from sin. And Lord, if there's any here tonight, I know you save them from the same thing as you save the rest of us from. You'll save them from sin, from death and hell. God, I'm thankful for that. And Father, I do believe we're all thankful for that. And Father, we pray tonight for this message to be preached. Father, that we would preach the message as you said it to be preached. Father, we want to encourage, Lord, Father, that needs to be encouraged, Lord. We want to reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Lord, that your gospel will be preached. I'm glad right now, Lord, this congregation does not just want their ears to be satisfied, Lord, but they need their heart to be preached to. Father, we pray tonight that you would loose our tongue, fill our heart, and loose our lips, Lord, that we may be able to preach this blessed gospel. I need that fresh oil, Lord God, whereby man cannot preach without. Father, we love and thank you, praise you. It's in Jesus' name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. Here we find in the Gospel of Luke, we find Jesus is at church if you'll have it. He went and got the Bible if you have it from the minister and said, "May I say, stand and say a few words." Can I say this, that Jesus asked for the book where his very words, where he was penned down, and then he read from those scriptures. Love these scriptures in the Gospel of Luke chapter number 4. Love the Gospels, but especially love the Gospels when Jesus does the speaking, and he's speaking the Word of God. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." What a wonderful thing to think about, that the Spirit of God was upon him. Love the fact it takes the Spirit of the Lord, Brother James, for a man to preach the gospel. I will say this, Jesus was just as much man as he was Lord. And can I say this, the thing is, the example that was set, that he came, and he came to that do what the Lord, his Father, have him to do. He said, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." And I'm glad Jesus did not do his own will. I will say this night, that many times when man gets in trouble, it's because he is following in that of his own will. But Jesus did not just preach the scriptures or just not preach things that he wanted to preach. Jesus always kept in the confines of the Bible. He kept in the confines of the scriptures. And somebody said, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Because Jesus is the Word. He is the scripture. He is manifested in the flesh. And what Jesus was preaching was nothing new. It was things that the minister had already probably read from who knows how many times before. Brother Josh, he was reading from Isaiah 61 is where he was reading from those scriptures. And I think Brother James is the reason why every eye was fastened upon him. May I say this, when the authority of God's anointing and when the approving of God's anointing comes up upon a man, there's just something that captivates the attention of the congregation. or the person sitting in the pew. That's the reason why I love it so much to hear the preached gospel. I love it when the man of God stands up being anointed with the power of God and to preach the word of God, because it amazes me how God, how nobody else may know. I never met the preacher before. Some of us in this congregation tonight, so more than just a couple of us, but many of us have spoke together about times we have been in church and the preachers show up not from that church or not from that state or from other parts in the country. He would stand and he would proclaim in the gospel and he would proclaim in the pulpit of that night, of that congregation, and just preach things that nobody else knew except for the Lord and the individual. I think it's a miracle. I think it's wonderful. I think it's great when the Spirit of the Lord is upon the man to preach the gospel. I think it's a wonderful thing for it to happen. I think it's a privileged thing for that to happen, for God to send a man to someone to hear the gospel to be preached. And a lot of times people may not understand why people get sent, but I believe this when the Bible says in Acts chapter number 2, and Jesus also told them at the end of the gospels that they were to go out into every country preaching the gospel to every creature. I believe that is what God wants us to do. Can I say this? It's not by our intellect or not by our intelligence. You've heard me say it many a times. It's not by the Sunday school teaching, not by the revivals that we have, but it's by the preaching of God's word. It pleased the Father the preaching of the gospel. It pleased the Father for them to believe through that preaching. I mean, God could use the many things. I mean, God could have used the mighty things that he has made. He could use mighty architectural structures that he has made. But no, he chose the foolish things of the world. He didn't even choose the highfalutin and the high intelligent man, but he chose the base man, the humbled man, the man that was willing to go, Brother Eddie, to proclaim the gospel. I heard a man one time say this to Brother Freddie Baker. He says, according to the way that you preach, that God excluded 50% of the population from preaching the gospel. He said, friend, it's not by my preaching what God has excluded. And by the way, you're off on your percentages. God has excluded 99% of the population from preaching his gospel. You said, preacher, how is that possible? Because it takes the Spirit of the Lord to be anointed on a man for him to preach the gospel. Anybody can't just ho-hum, grab a Bible, and begin to preach. It takes the power of God. Some people may think it's kind of contradictory if I stand up and say that, Lord, I cannot preach, never learn how to preach, never will learn how to preach. And some folks think it's something that you learn or some kind of class that you take or it's something that God will just pound into your heart. Friend, I've never found that to be so. I found the impression of the power of God upon my heart. And Brother Eddie, something that just drives me and drives me and drives me. I would love to have that kind of drive in my work ethic. I would love to have that kind of drive in my financial ethics. But I find it only shows up in the preaching ethics. And Brother James, when it does, it cannot be me. It has to be him. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the word. He's reading from Isaiah 61. And if you all would like to flip there, I invite you to, if you don't have to, if you don't want to. But this is what it says in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. And he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. I'm glad when he come to preach to certain people. He didn't come to righteous people, but he come to them that was not righteous. He didn't come to them that was intelligent in the scriptures, but he come to them that did not know which way to go. I'm glad, poor little old me, even though I couldn't put two and two together, I'm glad he still came by my way. Aren't you glad he came by your way and preached you the gospel? He didn't preach it in a way to where it was Harvard University or Yale University, but he preached it the simplicity of the manner to where your heart could understand it. That's why I love it when the man of God preaches. It's not just something fancy, but you've got to believe that word, understand that word, and confess that word, and God will save your soul. I'm reminded in this scripture, he said in Luke chapter number 4 is where I'm back to. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The poor is not a person who does not have no money, but the poor is the person who's of a meek and mild spirit. A person who is someone who is not haughty and high-minded. Am I hearing the preacher? Ain't got the big head or the huge ego. Somebody say amen right there. He's preaching the gospel to somebody who's needing help. And Sister Vicky, I need help. I mean, when I think I don't need no help, that's when I need the help the most. And can I say we're all needy individuals and we all need help. And notice the first thing he says, we come to preach the gospel to the poor. Isn't it amazing how he says to preach the gospel to the poor? He says in another place where John the Baptist's two disciples come to him and said, John's in prison, Jesus, and he's a wonder and he's a doubting. Now some take the side and said John doubted. That's fine, doesn't bother me. Some say John didn't doubt, but he sent his disciples to follow Jesus, and that's fine, it don't bother me neither. But they said, are you the one, or should we look for another? And Jesus said, you go back and tell John that the blind see, and the ears are opened up, and the lame are walking. Somebody say hallelujah right there. Hey, and it says the lame are walking, and the dead are raised back to life. Ain't that wonderful? But he says the poor has the gospel preached unto them. Isn't it wonderful tonight, Brother James, to know that just as much as that blind person needed their sight, and the deaf person needed their hearing, the lame person needed their walking, and the dead person needed to be raised up again, that the poor person needed the gospel to be preached unto them. I mean, I could sit here and say that we all were blind, and we all were deaf, and we all were dumb. We couldn't walk, and we was dead in trespasses and sins, and aren't you glad that God come by and preached you the gospel? No, I'm going kind of fast, but I'm getting kind of excited up here. I feel like taking a running trip. The singing got set me on spot pretty good. But I'm glad tonight to know that the preaching of the gospel is the most important thing for it to happen. May we never forget it's the preaching of the word. By the preaching of the word, faith come by hearing, the word of God. How can they believe on something they have not heard? And how can they hear unless it be preached? And how can he be a preacher unless he be sent? I'm glad to know that God has never failed to send the preached word out to the individual to have faith. I'm glad to know that when the preached word has gone out, it does something for every single one of us. Either it's going to condemn us or it's going to help us along the way, but either way, it's for us. And somebody said, preacher, how can it condemn me and it be for me? Well, if God sends you a message to show you where you're wrong, you ought to thank God because you got an opportunity to get it right what you was wrong in. Too many times people said, I don't like that preacher. Me and Brother Junior and Brother Johnny was talking before church. Sometimes we got to keep our mouth shut because I run my mouth too much and get myself in way too much trouble. But I've never found the Lord running his mouth, getting himself in trouble. Everything that he says always helps everybody out. Everybody's got loose lips and a long tongue. Somebody say amen right there. Nobody likes to admit it when they got the wrong one. Sometimes I don't like admitting it either. But I'm glad when the Lord's lips is a moving and the gospel's being preached unto the poor. Yeah, man, it's good. He says not only to the poor, but he says he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Can I say this? We've all had a broken heart. I want to remind everybody this, that when your heart's broken, the Bible says the Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart. That means he's close to them. He's nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and save with such of a contrite spirit. Can I say this? That heart being broken, the Lord knows exactly what you are going through. He knows the pain that's felt to having a broken heart. When things go wrong and things that happen, they tear you up on the inside. Situations that happens in the home. Situations that happen at work. Situations that happen at church. Situations that happens with your kids or with your spouse. Things that happen with grandkids, nieces, and nephews. God knows everything about it. He knows what you are going through. I'm glad the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 4 that we do have a high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ the righteous, who was tempted in all points like we are. That doesn't mean like we was, but like we are. That means everything we go through now, Jesus went through it back then. And the reason why he went through it, so he knows how you feel in your broken heart, that when your petition comes to God and you're broke down in your altar somewhere and you're by yourself and you're crying and you're praying, asking God, why, Jesus is there and says, I understand why, because he was tempted at every point like we are, but yet he was without sin. I tell you what, my heart gets broken, I want to lash out to the person that broke my heart. When my heart's broken, I want to badmouth the person that broke my heart. When my heart's broken, I want to be just as much vindictive to that person who broke my heart. But I'm glad when I broke somebody else's heart, Jesus didn't act that way towards me. Woo! I mean, he loves me and still forgives me of my sins. And aren't you glad he forgives you of yours? And he wants to heal your broken heart. That gospel will not only save your soul, but it will heal your broken heart. He said, he sent me. He said, the anointing of me is upon me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Can I say this? Many people don't realize that the reason why you feel like you're in prison or in tight quarters or feel like you're claustrophobic or you're bound up and tied up. Brother Kenny Murphy used to say this all the time, and I believe he probably still says it. He said, if you're tied up, it's because you brung your own rope. And I always wondered why he would say you brung your own rope. Well, I'm reminded that sin that causes my problems didn't come from nowhere else. I can't blame mom and dad, and I can't blame the devil, and I can't blame nobody else. Because lust comes from within my flesh. When lust conceiveth, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin is finished, it brings forth death. And many a times we are handcuffed and entangled up with the affairs of the world because our flesh wants to be so. Friend, Jesus come to preach not only to save the poor, to preach the poor, and to heal up the brokenhearted, but to set you free from the things that's binding you. Aren't you glad this evening that many times we got ourselves in trouble? Many times sin has caused problems in our life. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't leave us there to wallow in our mess, but He's the quicker picker-upper. Y'all remember that commercial by Bounty that said Bounty the quicker picker-upper? Does anybody feel like preaching tonight besides me? Bless his righteous name. They'd have that commercial. They'd take that Bounty paper towel, lay it on that big old mess, soak it up like nothing was ever there. My sin problem got me in all kinds of trouble, got me all kinds of a mess. But Jesus came by in that quicker picker-upper, picked me up, cleaned me up, set me back up on my feet, dusted me off and cruised me on my way. I'm glad tonight that he still comes to deliver them that are captive and set them free. He says, the captive is free, recovering sight to the blind. Oh, Lord. I'm sitting in that front pew and I'm trying to read that Bible that I got sitting here in front of me without my glasses. And can I say this? I've said this before. I want God to give me a message about glasses. Because what he showed me whenever I put these glasses on, these cheap $12 CVS glasses from Blanchester, I put them on and that Bible becomes so much clearer. Now, I don't think my hair is, I don't know what they call it. I can't remember if they call it nearsighted or farsighted. I don't know if I can't see up close what that is. But I'm looking at that Bible and it's all fuzzy and blurry. I can't make things out and I got to cock my head and tilt the thing. But when I put these glasses on, Brother Lee, I can look down and man, it's clear as a bell. And many a times we'll see a situation and we'll try to look through it through our natural eye. It's all blurry. It's all fuzzy. We're trying to cock our head to get the best angle at it so we know exactly what's going on. And what we really need to do is get that vision that God wants us to have. Let him put the goggles on us that we can look through the gospel, look through the truth, and look through love. Somebody hear the preacher? Look through love. Oh, yes, so look what God wants us to see through. And I'm telling you, we see things a whole lot clearer when we see things God's way. I believe when a sinner sees himself the way God sees him, Brother James, he'd run to an altar. I believe when a sinner sees herself as the way God sees her, she'll run to an altar. Noah, you got them glasses on and you can't hardly see. I've watched you squint. I've watched you tilt your head. But when you put them glasses on, everything's better. And can I say this? If we don't have this Bible, we don't have that Word of God being preached. Some folks don't like the preached Word. I understand why, but friend, without that preaching of the gospel, without the preaching of the Word of God, without the anointing being upon the preacher, and without the brokenhearted being preached to, the poor being preached to, oh, them that are captive being preached to. But it's also good to help you see where you're going. Friend, you don't know which way to go if you knew which way to go. God would not have sent his son. But the Bible says if the blind lead the blind, they both wind up in a ditch. Somebody say amen right there. But he'll preach to you the word and give you a clear path to see. Need to put on the glasses. Y'all hearing the preacher? And he says to set at liberty them that are bruised. I thought about this for a long time. Them that are bruised. A bruise is not like a gash. Bruise is not like a cut. Bruise, a lot of times you can see them, but I don't know if anybody else has ever had a bruise that you don't see, but you definitely can feel. It's below the surface. And it's deep. It runs real deep. Some folks say, well, it's just a bruise. You'll get over it. But they ain't the one feeling the pain. Somebody even know what the preacher's saying? Oh, you're just bruised. You ever heard of them bone bruises and deep bruises? Can I say this? There's times that happens in that spiritual walk with the Lord. You'll get them deep bruises, and they hurt. You try to parlay that information to the person next to you, but they don't understand what you're going through because it's so deep. They don't feel the deepness of it. They can see maybe if it's black and blue, they'll go, ooh, that's bad. That looks bad. Brother Don gets gout, but you can't see the gout show up. It's in his joints, his knees. You all right, Brother Don, if I say that? And can I say this? But no one knows what the pain of it feels like. We can sit there and think about it. Some folks ever feel the pain. I don't know about anybody else, but some of us have got aches and pains in our joints and backs and things that we suffer from else. But a deep bruise is painful. And a bruise normally is caused by trauma. Something happens on the outside to cause the bruise on the inside. A lot of times that bruise goes away over time, and sometimes you feel the effect for quite a while. I don't know why God's paused me on this one, but he had me meditate on this for quite a while, Brother Eddie. I ain't got no notes, so don't y'all think I'm trying to write down anything. I'm just going by what the Lord's given me. But some of us has been bruised, and we try to hide that. We don't give that to the Lord. We'll just limp along. When that bruise happens, it's just as much as important as a poor person having the gospel preached. If it wouldn't be important, why would he put it in here in these scriptures? And can I say this? Bruise, sometimes the best thing to do is to rest. Stay away from it. And you say, preacher, what's that supposed to do spiritually? I think sometimes people don't realize what it means just to curl up with the Lord and let him pet on you and help you. Oftentimes those bruises, if you try to muscle through them, sometimes it makes other things hurt just as bad. Because what you'll do is you'll compensate for the pain of the bruise, and you'll put more exertion on something else, and pretty soon that something else hurts just as bad as the bruise. I don't know where this is coming from. If it's not making no sense, don't blame me. I'm trying my very best. But I'm telling you this, the Lord still wants to heal the bruises. He still wants to heal the bruises. Verse 19, he says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. I want to say this, no time than right now. Don't put it off to tomorrow. Don't wait. I've heard so many people say, well, preacher, I'm saved. I'm not ready. Can I say this? It's you, the one who should always be ready. The one we should be waiting on is the Lord. Amen. Oftentimes I've heard people say, well, preacher, I know I need to do this, I don't need to do that, but I just ain't ready yet. I try my very level head of best, but I always want, not always, but a lot of times I wind up saying it doesn't make much sense to me. Heard a person try to tell me and give me an excuse for certain things, why they do certain things. They said, I just ain't got there. I don't know these things yet. But just because you may not know it doesn't mean that it's not right. If it's in the Bible, it's right. I said, if it's in the Bible, it's right. I said, if it's in the Bible, it's right. That's why he preaches it. He's not giving us an exam. He's not giving us a test, something to study. But he's preaching the word. We hear the word. We believe the word. The Bible says the Berean church heard everything that was preached, and they went through the scriptures to see whether it was so. I mean, what a noble church that they were, that they wanted that word of God to be so. And it says that the scripture, the Bible says in 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The Bible says that the Lord spoke and said in the day of provocation, harden not your heart. Don't harden your heart, for the day today is the day of salvation. That's one reason why I get so bent and mixed up with people who believe things a little bit differently. And I will say this, that's the reason why a lot of people do things ignorantly, is because they don't go through the scriptures. Can I say this? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of the Lord. I know somebody might say, well, preacher, well, what if tomorrow comes? And if tomorrow comes, then today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of the Lord. Too many times the devil has told people to put it off. Too many times the devil said, you just wait. Everything's going to be fine. Just put her off, put her off, put her off. And put her off always winds up being never is. Never is. He says throughout these scriptures, verse 21, he says, today is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He preached it. They marveled at how he preached. But I'm amazed at this. I was asked this question. I tried to stay away from this conversation. Somebody may know what I'm talking about. But so many times in so many ways and situations, people don't realize the importance of God sending the man to preach. They don't understand. And I'm not saying that Mount Zion don't, but there's a lot of folks that don't realize the importance of the preaching of the man of God that God sends. But I will say this, I'm not going to say Mount Zion is exempt, because I've met many people in this church. I'm not saying, you know, 20s and 30s, but there's people sometimes when the gospel's being preached, or I have talked to individuals and you try to help them along the way, and they say, well, I never heard nothing like that. I'm going, well, it was in the message. The Lord preached that. Why'd I get quiet all of a sudden? Right? Because I'm reminded in these scriptures, he said, there was all kinds of widows In Israel, during the famine of 3.5 years, there was no rain. But only one got to hear from the prophet of Elijah. What a blessing that it is the man of God showed up at her house. Y'all listen to the preacher? I mean, there was many other widows that was there in that land. There was many of the things going on, but God sent Elijah to the widow Zarephath's place. He said, you go to her. I don't know why God chose her, and I'm not going to argue. It's not my business. It's not going to be my headache tonight. I'm just glad that God sent somebody to my house. Somebody say amen right there. We preached this morning. I'm glad he came to me in my desert, sent a man in my desert to preach to me the gospel. But Elijah had went there. He was at the brook. I mean, he could have stayed at the brook, but the brook dried up. He could have relied on the ravens to bring him food to eat, but if there ain't no water for the ravens to drink to get back to where the food was, they ain't going to come back neither. Can I say this? God's the one who provides. And God said, get up and get to the widow Zarephath's house. She's ready to give up. She's ready to quit. She's fixing the last meal, and her son's going to die after that. I don't know what was going to happen, but Elijah told her, he said, well, before you go fix your last meal and die, fix me something first. I mean, I'll say this. That couldn't have been a Baptist woman in that kitchen. I mean, there could have been a lot of women and people from the United States in that kitchen. They would have whooped that preacher up one side down the other and sent him on his way. But you know what she did? She fixed him a cake first. And since she did, that barrel never ran dry. Can I say this? I can't explain why God goes to some people and why some... But I realize this, that we're in a congregation this side and the Lord's sending a message. It's for everybody to get something out of. I don't know why the Lord sent the message this way, and I had no ideas on preaching the rest of this until I just got in the pulpit. But can I say, I'm so glad that a man of God come my way, Brother Larry. I'm not going to argue, he's the boss. But he says there was other lepers in that day when Elisha was around, and he was doing a work. And Naaman was a Syrian. He was a man of valor. He was a mighty man of valor, but he had leprosy. Now, there was all kinds of lepers in that land, but none was sent to Naaman except for Elisha. And can I say, in these scriptures, it says many of them went out, but he says, verily, verily, I say, no prophet is accepted in his own country. And he goes on and tells those things about those situations. He said, today's the day that this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And can I say this, many times the gospel will be preached by the man of God. Many times the message will get preached by the man of God. And many times people will sit there and say, that's not for me. They'll sit there and say, that's not for me, because all they see in the pulpit, they'll see just a man. A lot of times they'll look and see, they'll get on the internet and find the preacher they like to listen to, or find the one that catches their fancy. I never forget, we used to have this conversation all the time, and I thank God for elder men like Brother Roger Williams. He settled the debate for me, because he was the first person that I heard say it, and it settled in my heart. We would get together and say, who's your favorite preacher to hear preach? And we'd talk about people, and I used to love to hear Sterling Bolin preach the gospel. It used to amaze me. Love to hear my pastor preach the gospel. I think y'all support your pastor, and I'm the pastor. I think y'all support your pastor. If God's got I'm here preaching the gospel, y'all listen to what the pastor's saying. Why? Because God sent a message to the pastor, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn. I'm just saying it's how God set it up. And Joe Carpenter and Mike Callahan were some of my favorite preachers. But I never forget what Brother Rogers says. He goes, you know who my favorite preacher is? I said, what, brother? Who is it? He says, the one God gave the message to. That's my favorite preacher. Why is that? We're just seed planters and water boys, and can I say this? But when God has anointed that man to preach the gospel, listen up and perk up. It could have been anybody else, but he sent him to you to preach the gospel. Every answer to every problem you'll find in that preached word. Many times we find at the altars, I like and see it, that some folks will say, well, preacher, I got an altar at the house, and I'm not debating that, and I'm not arguing that, and I hope you do, and I pray that you do. But many times, we preached it Wednesday night, that they piped. Jesus said, what shall I liken this generation? It is likened to the children that piped in the marketplaces. And they said, we piped and you did not dance, and we mourned, you did not come and comfort us. He was saying nothing moved them. We have come to the place in church world, in churchendom, as some folks call it, in 2018. Some folks wanted chandelier swinging. I like the way that it was singing went tonight. It was pretty good. It was good, wasn't it? I don't think you should shout unless the Lord puts it on you to shout, right? We was at the basketball game Friday night. Is anybody here with the preacher? I'm just going to give you a quick example. Man, I'm telling you, Blanchester's playing the team. It was a culture shock to, I think, Blanchester, and just as much as it was to the other team that showed up. And I'm not going to tell you why it was a culture shock. But, man, I tell you what, you should have seen some of them people, Sister Lois, they was getting into it. They was a shouting. You should have seen when that boy dunked that ball. You thought Blanchester, everybody won the Powerball when it was $1 billion. You thought, wow, people's a squalling like crazy. And I'm like, man, I wish they'd get that fired up about church. But I kind of eat crow on that. You shouldn't get fired up about church like that unless God moves upon you. Because what we have now is we got people who wants their flesh pleased, and they think it's church. When we could have been in the hardest of situations and places. I'm about done. I want to share this. Somebody asked me this question. I won't go into too much detail of it. I want to tell you how important the gospel is. How important it is for someone sent to you, someone God sends somebody your way. And a lot of people may not understand that when God sent somebody my way, it wasn't that I knew God was sending them my way. It's like they just showed up. I was like, man, he preached my whole life. Or somebody'd give me a call and they would talk to me. It's like, man, they didn't know what I was going through. What a privilege and what an honor it is. And when the preacher preaches the gospel, full in power and demonstration of the Spirit, not with the eloquency of words, but he preaches. Jesus sent them disciples out by two. He said, go into every town and preach the gospel. He said, in whichever house and every town that receives you, he says, you stay with them, let your peace abide on them. He said, but anybody that rejects you, he says, you shake off the dust off your clothes and off your feet as a testimony against them. Y'all hearing the man? Now, there was a feller who compassed sea and land to go preach the gospel to some people here not too long ago. They made fun of it all over the news, making fun of it on the radio. This feller got in this, paid these boaters to go get him out into some cove to go to some island that was protected by governments. They didn't want nobody infiltrating that island. It was on this young feller's heart to go preach the gospel to them. So they began to pick at it and make fun of it. What happened was he goes and preached the gospel to it. He kept a journal what happened. He goes and finds this islander people. And he begins to preach the gospel unto them. One feller had a knife. And he had his Bible next to his heart. And someone shoots an arrow and it goes halfway through the Bible and it winds up in Isaiah. And somebody goes, well, what do you think about that? That Bible's so thick, it didn't go no farther than that book of Isaiah. I said, probably, but I'm awfully amazed how it lands in Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah is 66 chapters, like the King James Bible is 66 books. You've got everything it contains in the 66 books of the King James Bible. You also find the 66 chapters of Isaiah concerning the children of Israel. And the prophets were sent to a stiff-necked people. Right? So there's this young fella on this island to a stiff-necked native people. Native. I don't know what kind of people they were. I'm not choosing sides, Sister Connie. But when someone shoots an arrow into my Bible and one's got a knife, I'm pretty sure I'm not welcome. Right? Here's the thing. Everybody made fun of that man. He makes it to his kayak. He sleeps in his kayak that night. He gets up the next day and goes back to shore. The people that gave him the ride to the cove to get in his kayak, they look on shore that morning and they see those natives dragging a body along the beach and bury it. Never see that young person ever again. They wanted to make fun of that fella for going doing that. They wanted to make fun of Christian people going doing that. We all can form an opinion, but this is what I do know. If God sends a man to proclaim the gospel, don't you dare make fun of that man. If you don't receive it, you don't receive it. But I'm reminded in that scripture, he says, if the preaching that was done in Capernaum was done in Sodom, he said, they would have repented. Y'all listen to the preacher? I'll go as far as to say this. If the preaching that's been done in the United States of America was done anywhere else, in them biblical towns, with the men that's been filled with the power and the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel, Brother Eddie, Jesus, they would have converted. But we're sitting in 2018 church world in USA, Southwest Ohio. And I'm not pointing a finger at nobody, but I want to remind everybody just how important is the preaching of the gospel is. Your life is in this message. You know if you're bruised. You know if you're brokenhearted. You know if you're poor. You know if you can't, if your eyesight's not that good. I don't have to explain to each of you if your eyesight's bad. You know if your eyesight's bad. Because if you're looking at somebody through hateful eyes, your eyesight's bad. You need an eye exam. Right? Right? If you're causing people to have bruises, I know if I've bruised somebody. It bothers me. If I've hurt anybody here, it bothers me if I hurt you. Why does should it? Because it should bother us. I'm not trying to get on the personal level because the Lord knows how to speak to your all's hearts. But here's the problem that we have. Old preacher said we call it the pitchfork religion. That message is not for me. It's for somebody else. We establish a good chunk of that straw and we pitch it over our back and pitch it to the pew behind us. I can't say it too loud, Sister Vicky, because my wife sits behind me, so I'll get in trouble. Everybody all right? You should have said amen right there, Dad. I love you. Need some help, Logan. You could have helped me out too. But I want to remind everybody, the preaching is for you, even if it's negative. He said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. If the Lord spoke to your heart tonight about anything, why would you tarry? Why would you wait? Why would you put it off? The importance of us being the people that we need to be. You don't know where God's is sending you. That's why you need your eyesight. We're all going to get bruised. We're all going to get sideswiped. Our heart's going to be broken from time to time. I know mine has. And I know, and I'll say this, and sometimes, Sister Vicky, I'll say your name because I understand. I understand I have broke people's hearts before. And that's bothered me. That's bothered me. I never want to break anybody's heart. But just as much as I have broke somebody's heart, I used to be the person who only worried about my heart. And when you worry about your heart, you need the gospel preached. Can I say this? None of us is perfect. But aren't you glad that God still sends the message and anoints it with His power to speak to you and I?